Okay. Well, welcome everybody to Wednesday night, and we're studying on praise, and we have a lot to praise the Lord about, don't we? We really do. We have a lot to praise the Lord about, so we're going to open up in prayer first. Father God, I just want to thank you for your wonderful presence and for your love. I want to thank you for walking each step with us. I want to thank you for the peace that passes all understanding. I want to thank you for giving us the wisdom to encourage and to share and to tell the truth of your word that will give hope and will open up doors to people's lives that feel like they are losing and things are not going well in their life. And in spite of that, God, you are still on the throne, and we worship you and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Father God, for being there for us, for your son and for his blood. Let us never, ever stop praising your name. Amen. Well, you know, when you learn something new or you're being taught things sometimes, there comes a time, like in nursing school when I was in college, we would learn different procedures, how to do wound care, how to start IVs, how to put in a catheter. And we would read all about it. We would study about it. We would go in and hear our professors lecture on it. We would practice on mannequins. We would get checked off. Did you do everything in order? Wash your hands, number one. Tell the patient what you're going to do. Keep them draped modestly. How to open up the packages. Every little step. And you had someone there that would check you off to make sure you didn't miss a step. Why? They wanted the patients to get the best care that they could get without any further complications like infections or whatever. So you go along and you've been practicing on mannequins. And then comes the day that you get assigned a patient in the hospital. It's called clinicals. You actually go and you have live human beings. And they say, Martha, your patient today needs an IV. Okay, I've stuck those little needles in those arms that are plastic and no human body attached. And I was pretty good at it. I was known to be a pretty good IV starter. But it's different when you go in and you do it the first time on a human being. And of course, we have to say to the human beings, this is a student nurse. Do you care if she observes you? Do you care if she starts her IV? Some people say, no, I don't want them. When I'm in the hospital, I'll say, go right ahead. You all got to learn somehow. And I lay my arms out and away they go. But some people don't, and that is okay. But that's to get to this thing of telling you all, there comes a time when you are studying intently for something, that there'll come a test, an actual test. And it won't be just reading, though reading the Word of God is wonderful. And it won't be just hearing the sermons from Sister Shirley and Pastor Jerry, even though they are wonderful. But because we live in a world that is not God's, there is an enemy out there that wants to discourage us. And he wants to say, let's see if what you have really been studying and praying about and talking about and hearing over and over and over, let's see if you can really do it. Can you really do whatever it is that you're studying? Can you have faith in God to take care of your bills when there's no money coming in and the bills are piling up and tomorrow is D-Day and here it is 5 o'clock the day before? Are you still saying God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory? What if it's 4 days too late and the bills were due 4 days ago? Can you still say with certainty, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory? You absolutely can. Yes, you've done. Miss Phil said, I've done on the way to the mailbox. But even if God is 4 days too late, guess what? He is right on time. That's the story of Lazarus. God's timing is not our timing. God's timing, believe it or not, is not the electric company's timing. You have faith in God. You have faith in the fact he's going to keep his promises, and he's going to do it in the exact right time. And sometimes, though, the closer it gets to where the problem has to be solved, maybe the little shakier we get with the verse, God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I don't see anything, God. God's going to supply all my riches according to his needs and glory. God, it's one day late. You say, well, why would God do that to us? I didn't tell you all that God was doing it to us, did I? I said we live in a world that is full of Satan. This world is of Satan. We are not of the world. We're in the world, and we're here to be a light to other people to show them that God is still on the throne and he will take care of his children. And one of the best ways to show the light is when things get shaky, they still see you stand on that firm ground. And I have been studying on praise now for almost 2 months. Almost every day I read something. I get back in the Word and I keep studying it. And I kept saying, God, why won't you let me go of the study of praise? They've heard it enough. They're going to get tired of hearing the same thing. Oh, is Martha going to teach on praise? Well, you know, I hope that you all are getting something out of the study too.
That's why you're doing it. It's because you're teaching what we need.
And you know something else? It is right where I need to be. And for those who don't know, my daughter's husband, Antonio, who I love as a son and see no difference at all. I love him as much as any mother could love a child. I love him in spite of our differences. His skin color sure don't make no difference to me, folks. I love this man as a mother would love a son. And he is at the UK hospital, infectious disease, and he is fighting COVID. And there are several stages, and one of the stages is called COVID lung. And when you get to COVID lung, the prognosis is very, very poor medically. And I want to stress medically. They don't know what to do with COVID lung. Respirators don't work. Medicines don't work. Some people come out of it, but this is mainly what has killed the elderly and the ones in the nursing home is this COVID lung, where the COVID just takes over the whole lung. The whole lung fields are white and stuff. His parents, my daughter's in-laws, who live with Minton Antonio and been there about 4 years, and they take care of them. The father-in-law, Antonio's father, is at VA, and he does have COVID lung, along with a very end-stage severe cardiac issue. His mother, who is younger than I am, she had him at a very young age, but has a lot of health issues, a lot. She is at UK with COVID lung, and she isn't doing well. She has declined, and they have her now on the third experimental drug. And they ask Antonio, what do you want us to do for your mother? And he said, the main thing is I don't want her dying alone, because nobody can go and visit, nobody. And they were so kind to put Antonio in her room. So they're getting to spend time together, even though they're both very, very sick. And I just want to thank you, Kay, because that's not the norm. But this is a different day and time. And why am I telling you all of this? Because I want a pity party? No, number one, I want you prayer warriors that really know how to pray, pray. Don't tell me you're going to pray and not pray. And don't pray, God's will be done if they die. I want prayer warriors that says, God, you have promised. I surround Antonio and his family with angels. I speak the healing word of God into their life. Because you know why? That's how I'm praying. I'm believing they're all going to come back home. I'm believing it with everything. But the main thing is I've got a daughter who is trying to be strong. And I have got two grandchildren who are trying to live in this world that's topsy-turvy now. And so when they FaceTime me, which they're doing very often, and my daughter's calling me with everything, Mom, what would you do? What do you think? I pray for God's wisdom before I answer. I let her cry. I let her get angry with me. I told her not to take it to the girls. Call your mama. Then I tell her, read Psalms 91, 5 and 6 and 7 times a day. I quote scriptures to her. Don't forget, Minta, what you learned as a child. Don't forget what Pastor Laverne taught you. Don't forget what you, Bonnie and Richard taught you. Hope, you know, pull in on that word. Yes, I know what the medical staff is saying, but don't forget, we believe that the word of God has the last word, not the doctors. But you know what else that I am required to do through all of this? I get up and I praise God and I thank him for being on the throne and how wonderful he is. You're praising God for what's going on with your family? I didn't say I was praising God for what's going on in my family. No, that one, I'm going against the gates of hell. I'm praising God because he is still God and his promises are still true. And the word of God is true, and I do not care what you all see or happens to my family. You will still hear me say, I will praise God. I love them, but God comes first. And one reason is it says a teacher will be held more accountable than her students. Sitting in a teacher's role, you need to take it seriously. And I think that's why I fought it for years. I wanted to be sure I could take it with the seriousness that God wanted it to be. And now I can honestly sit here and tell you, I go to bed at night and I go right to sleep. I don't toss and turn. I'm getting woke up several times a night because Minta's calling me with questions and updates because things seem to happen at night more. And the doctors will call her and then she'll call me. And that's fine because you know what happens? When I get off the phone with her in the middle of the night, I start praying. Then I start praying in tongues because my mind gets kind of sleepy. And then the next thing you know, I'm sound asleep until the next call. Now, people might say, how can you do that? It's called the peace that passes all understanding. I am at total peace with what is happening with Minta and her family. Do I like it? No. Do I know who's behind it? Yes. But do I know who can take care of it all? So why wouldn't I just say, okay, God, I've done what I can do. I praise your holy name. I thank you, God. I'm going to let you keep watch. I'm going to go to sleep. And I do. And my mother will even say to me, I don't know how you can sleep like that. And I said, oh, I just give it to God. Yeah, you don't have to carry it. But I'm here to say to you all, you start studying praise. You start preaching praise. You start hearing praise. There's going to be a time that you're going to have to put into practice, just like I did with the IV on the human being. There will be a time you will be called to see, do you truly, truly believe what comes out of your mouth? And this is where people are going to be watching Martha because they know what Martha believes. Martha believes in healing. Martha believes in turning things over to God. Martha believes in standing on a firm foundation. So there's going to be people and say, let's see what happens now with everything going on. Let's see how depressed and down Martha gets now that all this is going on. Because people say, oh, it's easy when things are going good. But you see, what we have in the Word of God is for us when things aren't going good. I mean, it's for when it is going good, but it's here when things aren't going good. And you say, well, why would God not let things go good? Because we have an enemy who's after the children of God, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But we also know that Jesus died on the cross. His blood covers our sins and brings with it salvation, which includes healing, prosperity, and everything. And that he got back the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He holds those keys. So God is still in control for the children that will allow him to be in control of their life.
Do you know what I tell people about not Psalm 91? You know that's been my song.
Yes, I do know that's been your song.
Read it over and over till you believe it.
Not yes.
Healed.
Right. Miss Phyllis, that's a good point. You know, I need to tell men to that too. Thank you, Miss Phyllis. Read Psalms 91 over and over and over, not till it gets up here, but until it gets into your heart and it's truly embedded and you believe it with
that's
everything
when
and
you can believe it.
That's when you believe it. It's when it's in your heart. That's right. Because if it stays in your mind, Satan can try to talk you out of it. Because he plays mind games. But he cannot touch your spiritual heart. And so and that's where it says, thy word have I hid in my heart so that I may not sin against you, God. And one way you can sin is to say, I believe God heals. I think God's in control. And then turn around and say, I don't know what we're going to do. This is the worst thing that's ever happened. And start wringing your hands. That is double talk. And God says he doesn't want a double talking man. And so God needs for us to say what we believe and to act what we believe. And it's the actions that other people are going to look for, and they're going to say, how did you get through this? Oh, God was with me every step of the way. I was never alone, never alone. So I'm still here to talk about praise. Yes, I'm still here to talk about praise. What a wonderful gift we have in the gift of praise. God has made us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, and Sister Shirley said this Sunday morning, things just tie together so well. One of the reasons I think that some Christians don't use this gift of praise that God has given us or put on this coat of praise is they don't really know who they are in Christ. They don't know you have a right to praise. You have this gift. It's yours. And so, see, the garment of praise is supposed to give us strength when the spirit of heaviness. Now, listen to this. The garment of praise gives us strength, if we'll put it on, when the spirit of heaviness wants to make us weak. Doesn't heaviness make you weak? Have you ever carried around like today, Minta said, Mom, this is only Wednesday. When will this week ever, ever stop? It's only Wednesday. I sense this sense of heaviness on her, this oppression. Of course, she hasn't slept well for days now, you know, being up with her in-laws and then getting them there. And, she tried to get her in-laws in the hospital and they kept sending them back home because they're not admitting COVID patients to the hospital until they get to the serious condition because they want to make better decisions than Florida did. Florida right now has 89% of their beds tied up with COVID patients, which means when you have trauma, heart attacks, gallbladder attacks, you need surgery, whatever, they're having to go to another states and cities and things like that. So Lexington has decided they're going to limit and not just put every COVID patient in the hospital at that time because things still happen. Accidents still go on. People need surgeries. People have heart attacks. People have cancer. And those things have to be addressed also. So they've got these things before they will admit them. So she stayed up with her in-laws. This has been going on now for 2 weeks. from the first symptom. It will be 2 weeks tomorrow. And so she's tired. And when we get tired and we get discouraged, we get hungry, we get angry, we get lonely. I remember Sister Sherry Stump doing a little, I guess she would call it a testimony. I took it as a teaching. I don't know if you're going to remember this or not, Sherry or Miss Phyllis. She said the word halt, H-A-L-T, which means stop. When you get too hungry, too angry, too lonely, too tired, stop and really step back, because that's where Satan can come in and grab you, like the little weak antelope in the African jungle. That's the one that lions go after. It's the one that's lagging behind. So I have never forgot that from her teaching, that the word halt means to stop and get into the presence of God, because you are opening yourself up to Satan saying this is a good time to attack her. So, but this is also a good time that you put on your praise, because what does it say here? That the garment of praise will give you strength when the spirit of heaviness makes you weak. And that's what the garment of praise does. It gives us strength. You know, praise is your solution to overcoming tiredness and feelings of being overwhelmed and wondering which decision to make. And you've got about eight different things. I mean, my mother says this all the time. She's even saying it now. When I would tell her, you know, I don't tell her a lot about everything, but she knows that kind of what's going on with Minta. And she'll say, well, when it rains, it pours, don't it? I said, I guess so, Mother. But have you noticed that sometimes when one thing happens, it's just like a snowball? You go along for months and things seem to be going good, and then all of a sudden it's one thing after the other thing, after the other thing, after the other thing. Satan, folks. Tool of Satan. Absolute tool of Satan. Because when you get tired and when you get overwhelmed, you sometimes forget that you need to keep praising him. But praise is the solution to the tiredness and being so overwhelmed with what's going on in the world. I want to read, and we've been in Isaiah 61 now forever how long, but thank God it's still true. It hasn't changed. It's still the word of God, and we still believe every word of it. And I want to read from Isaiah 61, verse 10. Now, Isaiah, in the first of 61, is telling us this is the good news of salvation. Jesus has come to do all this. Then he's told us he's going to pull us out of the ashes. He's going to give us the oil of joy for mourning, and he's going to give us the garment of praise for heaviness. And he goes on and he's talking about rebuilding the ruins, and that they're going to be raised up from desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities. And, you know, he's being positive, but what he's talking about when you start at verse 4, most of the time is there's destruction behind it. There's desolation and there's ruins. And so, but God is going to bring them out of it. And it says in verse 7, instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Well, let's go to verse 10 and see what Isaiah says. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, or I will greatly praise the Lord. My soul shall be joyful to my God when things are going good. Does it say that? No, it don't. It says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, and my soul shall be joyful to my God. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. For he has clothed me with the garment of salvation, which comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. And he has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Remember us talking about the robe of righteousness? We aren't righteous in ourselves, folks. What do we as humans have on us? Filthy rags. But God has given us the garments of salvation. And on top of the garments of salvation, we've got the robe of righteousness. And he gives us this garment of praise for heaviness. Oh, what else can God do for us? Well, you all know he has so much more. What I'm talking about is just a drop in the bucket to all the wonderful gifts and promises that he has for us. And as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, for as the earth brings forth its bud, and the garden calls the things that are sown as if to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise. Listen to this verse, folks. Our nation is in trouble. Will you all agree with me on that one?
Yes.
All right, but listen. So the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Where does all this praise and joy spring forth from? Back up here with the bride. And back up here where it says, I, as a Christian, will greatly rejoice in the Lord, and my soul shall be joyful for my God. And when we as Christians can be joyful for our God, not for every circumstance, but in every circumstance, then our nation will spring forth with righteousness and praise. This is a time, Christians, that we push into God. We start praising his holy name to the point that our praise is louder than the circumstances that are out there. And do I mean we have to go out and scream at the top of our lungs? No. We have to praise him, and we have to give forth that light of praise. And they have to see, why aren't these people shaken up by what's going on? Why aren't these people just shaky like everybody else is? Why? And they come up to you and say, you seem to be handling everything that's going on pretty well. How can you handle this? Oh, you see, I have a God that loves me. I have a God that walks with me. I have a God that gives me the garment of salvation, and he gives me the garment of righteousness, and he's going to supply all my riches and all my needs according to his riches and glory. And he has healing power in the name of Jesus and all the other promises we have. Share it with them. We have more people out there in America right now that are looking for hope than I believe we have ever had at any time in history. I really do. And we as Christians, this is our time to rise up and to show forth what God can do in our lives. I want to go also now to Habakkuk. And I'm not going to get into a whole lot of this, but if you all will remember, there was a time I taught on the whole book of Habakkuk. And in chapter 1, we have the prophet Habakkuk moaning and groaning and complaining and walking in fear because his nation was in trouble. Do y'all remember that? His nation was going through the worst crisis that they had ever been through. In fact, it says in the Spirit-filled Bible that Habakkuk lived through one of Judah's most critical periods in history. The Babylonians had invaded Judah and left destruction through the land. That's what's in chapter 1. We can even say here, COVID has invaded America, and it is leaving destruction throughout the land. It is affecting politics, economics, medical. It is affecting education. It is affecting every part of life as we know it. And it's leaving destruction throughout the land. Then in chapter 2, Habakkuk goes and it talks about him standing up on the watchtower. Remember that? He's standing as a sentry, as a guard. And him and God have a big, long talk. And God reminds him of his promises. And God reminds him, Habakkuk, have you forgotten what I said that I would do? And in chapter 3, honey, Habakkuk is, faith has risen up in him. He is excited about what is going on. He says a prayer to God. And the next thing you know, he starts speaking faith out of his mouth. And everything is turned around from chapter 1 to chapter 3. There's only 3 chapters in Habakkuk. It is talking about a nation and its problems. You want to read something that might help you open your eyes to what's going on in America? Read Habakkuk. Because I can tell you one thing, if God did it for Habakkuk, he can do it for us. He is not a respecter of person. And in Habakkuk 3, we're going to start with verse 17, and it's called a hymn of faith. And y'all just kind of think about, you know, what's going on. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, grocery shelves are empty, can't find everything you used to find, prices are sky high. Though the fig tree may not blossom and no fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and though the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, paying $6-7 a pound for ground beef, meat is where? That's flocks, folks. Flocks, not just sheep. We got herds of cattle. And there be no herd in the stalls. You all, does that sound like America? Can we not say, well, we don't have fig trees. We don't depend on olives for our oil and our income. We don't grow all our food. But it's still the same principle. It's saying, there's nothing out there for us. Our country is in trouble. We have a great need. There is so much want. Oh, folks, let's don't stop there. Verse 18. Okay, all that's going on. That's what Habakkuk says. And then he uses this 3-letter word. Y-E-T. Up there with but. Yet. Even though all of this is going on, folks. Yet. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord. That's what Habakkuk says. Okay, shelves are empty. I can't afford to buy food. I don't know where my next meal's coming from. The economy is down in the tank. You can't even make change in some states. What is going on? What is going on? What is going on? Can't get health care. Can't do this. Can't. What is going on? What is going on? And yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. That sentence, you all, is your secret to getting through what we're going through. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. Remember that. And when something comes forth, see, I'd already studied this. So every time I got a report from Minta, I would get off the phone and say, yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy. Now, joy is usually a noun, but this is almost like a verb. I will joy or rejoice or praise in the God of my salvation. For the Lord God, verse 19, for the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills, irregardless of what the circumstances show. God will cause us to climb higher and higher. He will give us deer's feet that can climb higher, and over this mountain and over all this problems, we'll go higher and higher and higher. We will be above the circumstances. How can you get above the circumstances? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. I want to read word wealth from this, from Habakkuk. It's in Habakkuk for those who have a Spirit-filled Bible. And it says that word joy in verse 18, it says, I will joy in the God of my salvation. It's from the Hebrew word G-I-L or gil. And it means to joy, rejoice, be glad, and be joyful. That word gil, it suggests dancing or leaping for joy. Dancing and leaping for joy. Maybe it's time we Christians got out in the aisles and started dancing during our praise and worship services. That's what this joy, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Basically, I will dance for joy, or I will leap for joy, or I will spin around with intense emotion. Now, do y'all remember a time when King David kind of got in trouble with his lovely wife? The Ark of the Covenant was coming home, folks. The presence of God was coming back to Jerusalem, where it should have been all along. And King David was so overjoyed that it said he danced and did cartwheels and leaped for joy and spun around in the street. Do y'all remember that story? And his wife, looking out from her balcony, the very proper princess, is embarrassed that her husband is having such a show in the middle of the street that she basically, I don't mean like curse and cussing, she spoke badly against him.
Yeah.
And what did God do to her? She wasn't allowed to have a child. She couldn't have an heir to the throne. Don't ever judge someone's way of rejoicing to God. You don't know what they've been through that week that causes them to get down on their knees and weep, or causes them to stand up in church and say, yes, God, I praise you, I praise you, I praise you. And you're thinking, you're making a scene. You don't know what they've been through. You know when it's real. You know when it comes from the heart. They're praising God. They're doing gil. They're joining. They are joining in the God of their salvation. You all, that's praise. And that praise will free you. And it will cause strength to come to you. You see, the name of Habakkuk, if y'all remember, it means to embrace. Isn't that interesting? This is a little sideline. I take a rabbit run. I learned from my pastor. Do you know that we're told that we can't embrace each other right now with this COVID going on? Mm-hmm. And here Habakkuk's name means to embrace. Okay. So they tell us we can't embrace. We can't hug. There's nothing, Christians, that can ever stop us from embracing God. Go into his throne room, climb up on his lap, give him the biggest hug you want to, and he will hug you back. I don't care. There's no governor. There's no law that says you. I respect the laws concerning this because of health care. But there's nothing that says I can't continue to sing to my God, that I can't continue to praise my God, that I cannot get in his lap and embrace my God. Nothing can ever stop that. Nothing but your own choice.
California governor's trying,
but you know what, Miss Phyllis?
People are still singing.
They're singing, and if they don't open their mouth, they can sing from their heart with everything in them.
Oh,
I do too. I do too. I believe it. Because as bad as California, people say California is bad, but as bad as it is, there's still souls out there to be won. And there are remnants of Christians out there that will do it. And we need to pray for those Christians and lift them up and support them. And yes, that's what we Christians have to do. Maybe we're not meant to go to California and be a missionary, but there's nothing that can stop our prayers and praising for California and for our own community and any other community. And anytime we hear or see something where Christians are under attack or churches are under attack, you say, God, I don't know what I need to do. Well, you pray first and you praise, and God will tell you what to do. And it might just be you continue to pray and praise. And it will turn things around. I believe that with everything in me. I want to go now to Psalms 132, 9, and then drop down to verse 16. It says, let your priest, remember, who are the priests nowadays? In the Christian community, in the Protestant Christian community, we are. We talked about being priests last week. Let your priest be clothed in righteousness. And we know we get that clothing, those garments from God. We just read that he's the one that makes those for us. And your saints. Okay, who are the saints in the Protestant community? Us. We're saints. We don't have to be canonized like the Catholic Church requires. We are saints because we are God's children. And what are the saints to do? Let your priests be clothed in righteousness, and let your priests or Christians be clothed in joy. Clothed in joy. Well, this word, well, goes on to say that, you know, when I was talking about how you can, if God causes you to dance or spin around or shout out your praises, or he might tell you to do it in a quiet manner, because there's times it needs to be quiet, expression of praise and joy, God will tell you how to be. It'll come out from your spirit, man. The Holy Spirit will guide you in your actions. But it does, you know, I was raised, my mother is not an emotional woman at all. She's not very affectionate. You know, she's not one of these that laughed with us or joked with us. She was very serious, and joking and things like that was idleness and, you know, idle hands and all that. A good mother. You know, she took care of us. She loved us. She made sure we went to church. But she's just not a very loving, affectionate woman. The most that we would get is like a pat on the shoulder or something. If you want a hug from her, you have to lean into her, because she's not going to lean into you. And that's just her. And she taught us that, even though we went to a Church of God church, she taught us, because my grandmother was like this too, very quiet woman. My mother does not like loud voices or anything filled with passion. Even me teaching tonight, she'd say, Martha, you were a little loud. She's just that quiet mode. And some people have that. And so she taught us, especially in church, that you should be very quiet and very self-contained. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. I praise your holy name. I feel joy from you, God. And you're sitting there thinking, your face don't match up. Okay. But that's the way some of them were taught. Don't you all remember churches that were taught that? There are still churches that if you were to get out in the middle of the aisle and dance and scream praise the Lord, they'd probably escort you out. Or at least ask for you to get a psyche vow or something, you know, kind of like Micah did with David. But this lays what this joy that I just read, it lays to rest the notion that the Bible says that the concept of joy is just a quiet inner sense of peace and well-being, which that's one of the definitions. We can have joy, believe it or not. And I know this is going to be a bold statement. You can have joy in the middle of a funeral home.
Sure, yeah.
You can have that peace that passes understanding in the middle of the funeral home. And God, you know, that's a time of maybe more somberness, but it doesn't mean that you don't have that quiet peace that passes all understanding along with your grief. It doesn't say you can't grieve and still not get the oil of joy for mourning.
Sure.
Because that's the way God does things. And that's a hard concept for people who don't know God to understand. But right here it says that's not the only way you express joy as a Christian. Because it says that God dances for joy at this time over Jerusalem and over his own people. That's in the scripture. Isaiah 65:19 talks about that, and so does Zephaniah 3:17. But he rejoices over us. Over us? Don't it say that, Miss Phyllis?
Yes.
That God rejoices over us? And we can't rejoice over God? Now tell me, how lopsided is that thinking? Right? We have the God of perfection, the God of the universe, God the creator, God who has given us everything, and he rejoices over us, the humans that are in filthy rags, and whose sin Jesus took upon himself. And then we say we have a hard time praising and rejoicing over God. That thinking is about as flawed as anything I've ever heard of. If God can rejoice over us, we can rejoice over God. And we should, as Christians. You see, the Messiah, he rejoices in the fact that he went to the cross, believe it or not, because it said, and his joy went before him for us. That horrible, horrible death. The torture he went through before he even got to the cross. But once he got on the cross, then he took all our sins on him. And we can't find any reason to rejoice over Jesus Christ and his salvation. Jesus rejoices over us and our salvation. Surely, 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 as Christians, we can find something to rejoice over Jesus Christ. There is no circumstance that should shut up our mouth. No one went through anything any worse than our Lord and Savior did for us. And yet, he rejoiced for us, not for what he was going through, because he had asked God, if you can find another way, take this away from me. But if you can't, I want to go. I want these people saved. I want to have a relationship with them. I want to spend eternity with them. And then he goes and takes the ugliest of our sins upon himself. And I'm talking the ugliest. Anything you've ever heard that anybody can do that is so ugly that it almost makes you sick at your stomach and you think, how can people do that to other people? We're talking Hitler and all the things he did during World War II. Jesus Christ took all that mess on himself. The filthiest of our sins he took on himself for us. And he rejoiced because of us. It was his joy to do it for us. And we can't find enough to joy over Jesus Christ. The more I study this praise, I feel guilty. Sometimes I have to fight it off. God, I am so sorry that I have kept my mouth so shut. And I just feel this strength of praise rising up in me. It's there. And it can get so strong sometimes. If y'all ever see me lean over and touch my knees, it is just like it's there. And if I stood up, I'd just be out on the floor. I guess that'd be okay, too. Y'all could just walk around me. Sherry could cover me up with a cloth. Let me go, you know. But that is how strong and how it's just like, God, I don't even have the strength to praise you enough without feeling the Spirit just want to wash all over you. And I have to apologize to God. I've kept my mouth shut too long, God. I am going to praise your name. I made that comment this past Sunday sitting right over there. God, I am going to praise your name no matter what comes. And guess what came Monday? Right? Mother-in-law goes, admitted, COVID. Father-in-law admitted, COVID. Son-in-law admitted with COVID. Reports become negative. And I sat back there and I said, God, I am so sorry that I have not praised you all these years. And there is nothing now that's going to shut up my mouth. And you know who else probably heard me say that, and I don't care. Satan and his little minions. And they said, okay, we'll see, Martha. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, I am still praising. And you will still see me over there praising on Sunday morning. And I don't care what happens between now and Sunday.
Yeah, I was texting Ms. Laverne a couple of days ago about a situation. And I just was feeling just really down about it or whatever. And she was telling me a few things. And then she just said, do not be distracted.
Yes.
And then that kind of jolted me out of what I was feeling, because then I'm like, oh, I forgot for just a minute what I've been learning.
Yes.
So I know this. Thank you for reminding
me. That's right. And Sister Shirley preached on distractions Sunday morning. And yes, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to do this. And we have to put praise on. That's why they put those, what do you call them?
Blinders
on the horses, especially in the olden times when horses and carriages were coming, but the cars were coming too, and the cars were scaring the horses. You know, they had to share the streets for a while. Not everybody had a car. So the horses had to learn to get used to these cars and all this stuff going on. And they started using blinders. And that was to keep the horse focused straight ahead without getting distracted by the cars that were going by and all the other things that happen with horses. And then they rear up and run away and cause a lot of chaos and stuff. Well, they would put those blinders on. That's the way praise does. Praise should focus us in, get rid of all those distractions of Satan, and focus us in on what's the most important, which is God, Jesus Christ, and the Word of God that He has for us. Boy, that was a quick hour, wasn't it? That was a quick hour. I feel like it just went through. I'm going to close I'm going to finish up here, and even if it cuts me off. In Psalms is a wonderful book of praise. And there were times that David would even say that he was so overwhelmed with praise, he did not know what words to say. So he would show forth with joy in his dancing. And then it went into singing. And that's why David found himself leaping for joy to Yahweh, is because he was so overwhelmed with God and what God meant to him. But he had to stay focused and forget what the people. Can you imagine? Here is the next upcoming king of Israel. And he's going through in his clothes, turning somersaults and cartwheels and dancing in the streets and spinning around praising God. This is the king of our country. Don't you all think he didn't have to put blinders on? You don't think there are people along that route that were jeering at him and laughing at him? And he did not care, because he was focused on God. So this next week, I want to encourage everyone. I don't care what comes into your house. I don't care how negative things get. You all can, you're welcome to talk to me. I will pray with you. But you all cannot give me a story of how bad things are with you and hear me say, well, maybe you don't need to praise God this week. It sounds like you've just really had a bad week. And so right now, I wouldn't praise God. You're going to hear me say, you want your circumstances to turn around? You better be praising God. Because it is what will remove that spirit of heaviness that wants to weaken you. Mm-hmm. and wants to confuse you and wants to cause chaos in your life. And the spirit of praise will keep you focused, away from distractions, Sherry, away from distractions. The next time you feel that uneasiness, lay that uneasiness down and start praising God and see if you don't feel better afterwards. And when you then you can pick it back up, because we have to deal with things. We have to make decisions. But don't make it with the spirit of heaviness. Make it after you've spent time with God. And then it just seems like God gives you clarity. This is what you need to do. This is how you need to handle it. Call this person and have them pray with you. You know, that's fine. That's what we're supposed to do. And I don't care to listen or pray with anyone over their issues. And there are people in this room that know that. But you will never hear me say things are so bad that God can't take care of them.
Right.
You'll never hear me say that.
No.
Ever. So we're going to close right now with that. And I'm sorry. Well, no, I am not going to apologize, Satan. I will continue with praise next week.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
All right.
Right.
Amen. Pardon? Yes, let's say it. Let's pray over pastors. That's right. Thank you, Glenn. Father God, you call us as Christians to hold up the leaders of our church, the leaders of our nation, the leaders of our government, but you tell us to hold up our pastors and our shepherds and surround them. And so tonight, Father God, those of us that hear my voice and the ones of us here, and it doesn't take a whole lot, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be in the midst. He will answer our prayers. We surround you, pastors, and we pray for you, and we send forth the joy of the Lord into your life, and the fact that he can take care of whatever situation or circumstance is facing you right now. We know that God can take care of it. But sometimes you need to know there are Christians praying with you, pastors. And we are here and we are surrounding you and praying for you and speaking wisdom and guidance and understanding. The thing of understanding. That there will be understanding in your circumstances. And even in the midst of it, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt you're going to praise him. And that will create strength for any of the heaviness that's trying to cover you. And we thank you for being our pastors. We thank you for standing in the front lines. We thank you for all the darts you've taken for us over the years and for teaching us how to be stronger Christians for God. And therefore, we honor you, and we will pray for you, and we will continue to pray for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's don't forget to hold our pastors up. And we pray for Sister Shirley, too. She's in the front line also. And, of course, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to take them.